Welcome to The Walking Dead with three stupid guys, and today we only have three stupid guys. We don't know what happened to Russ. Russ is MIA. Maybe Russ is, maybe he's with the hoarders.
Stuck in line. No lids are available at the Burger King. Something's going on.
Yeah, that could be it. Do we have a name for the new group? What happened?
Little echo there. Little feedback.
Echo. Do we have a name for the new group that Rick was...
I thought they were the scrappers.
I call them the hoarders.
Oh, I like that, the hoarders.
The main woman who was the leader of the Talking Dead, and she says on the show, like, the heapsters.
The heapsters?
The heapsters.
It's a little play on words, like the hipsters.
The hipsters. Yeah, that makes sense, because I was going to say that they were wearing some pretty... I had it written down somewhere in my notes, so I guess
I like mine better. She needs to change it to the hoarders, because that was straight out of a hoarder episode.
Whoa!
It's like, you know, on a hoarder episode where there's always a dead cat or something like this. Well, in this episode, there's a walker with a bunch of knives.
But hoarders don't dress like they're like in some kind of French German post punk band.
They do in France and Germany.
Ah. And that's where all of there are hoarders in Europe, you think?
Oh, there has to be.
I thought Europeans were just like a lot more, like they didn't have enough room, so they just had to get rid of all of their crap.
No, they just there's hoarders everywhere. you can always find a dead cat somewhere. Yeah, so.
And they were also dressed like they were just leaving a Star Trek convention.
Yeah.
Speaking of cats, Matrix. we did see a wired cat sculpture in this.
Yeah, we did. So I think that was a shout out to hoarders, because the cat was obviously not a.
I get okay. I'm gonna side with Mike's thing here. The heapsters make sense, because a lot of these people were dressing like students in art school. So
yeah, and I'm gonna say no, because I like. did you like that text I sent you guys on Sunday about the poop?
Oh yeah, I always love it when you send me poop texts. That's right up there.
There's a game. He's like, ah, another crappy text from Jack.
There's a game where you have to put a piece in your mouth. You have to put a mouthpiece in there, something that holds your mouth up like this, and the object is to say what is on the card. And that's what was on the card.
Oh, huh.
That was what's on the card, and let me see if I can find it, because I'll read it to the people who are okay. Because we had a thing about on Sports Talk where Matt wouldn't, he's a communist for not letting his kids paint with poop.
Oh, is that where that comes from?
Express their, creative thing. So anyway, this one was says Panthers paint pictures with their poop, and I'm sitting there, and I wasn't really playing at this time. I was kind of playing with my grandson. I go, wait, what did you guys just say? I go, can I have that card? And you take a picture of it. They go, why? I go, oh, it's a long story. But I sent it in, and then see, Matt, it's a thing.
You texted me right about the time that I was actually dealing with the toilet. As I mentioned before, I had some plumbing things, so it was a really crappy weekend.
Yeah.
especially when you tear apart the toilet, you're rushing around trying.
Here's a thought: if you let your kids paint with poop, you probably have less toilet issues.
Do we need to go back to the poop?
We want to flush this topic down drain? I think Matt definitely does.
Hey, did you?
Let's just put a pin in this poop story here. I think the poll of the week, unrelated, should be more. What do we call this new group? And Jack, you can have your hoarders things.
I want the hoarders.
I can have my scrappers thing, because that was what I came up with, and then Mike can contribute this heapsters business.
Hey. Mike, did you put up a poll? Will Mike like this episode? Did Mike like this episode? You had one job to do this week. Did you do it?
I retweeted. Wait. Who's the one person who retweeted your? Well, you asked them to retweet their tweet.
It was you.
One of your fellow co-hosts doesn't even follow us.
I did this week. I did start following this week.
But when I saw and I go, wait a minute, new follower. I go, Matt. What do you mean, Matt?
I think Russ's question was like. Russ's question was, what is Twitter? What is retweeting?
Russ doesn't even know where the Jay and Jack meetup group happens. Okay. I texted over the weekend that
he's never been invited.
Yeah. Well, he said, where is it? I was like, Raleigh. He's like, oh, okay.
I live there.
Yeah, that should be easy for me to attend.
You would think.
Well, I'll meet at the local payphone.
Yeah. I think he probably just never got that invite from Jay. So anyway.
So that's the podcast, guys. Thanks. Thanks for
that's
joining
it. Us. Yeah, that was a recap.
But if you like to talk about poop and other cool things like that, you can become a patron. Go to patreon.com/JayandJack or go to jayandjack.com where it says become a patron. And you click on, and we're doing a live Married Man show tomorrow. We were hoping to do the doghouse decisions, but we haven't had two people send in yet. Maybe we could have you and Mike come in, and you can just debate the poop thing. What do you think?
Oh, does it have to be poop again? Well, can I debate something else?
You can debate. Anyway, that and
I'll
be
hiking. We're also do later.
We're also doing the live where you have to have questions. If we mess a question, we have to take a shot. So it becomes the slurry drunk podcast at the end. But that'll be tomorrow night for all the patrons. Also, if you shop Amazon, go to amazon.com/JayandJack or go to jayandjack.com, make it your home page, and every little bit helps. Thank you, and God bless.
I would just like to add that if you want to really, give us a review on iTunes there too. That always helps boost us up and other people find us that way.
We only accept 5 stars.
So we're a 5-star podcast with high production quality.
I'm waiting for someone to get mad and go, since Jack said 5 stars, I'm only giving 1. I mean, I'm kidding. You can do whatever you want. I'm just being, I don't know, poopy.
You're being Jack.
I'm being Jack. Do I sound better now, Mike? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you can hear it perfectly.
Okay.
It's just like when you were leaning back, it was fading out.
I don't know. I think that was
trying
my
to win
only...
a podcast award for best produced. 2017 is a new year. We have another chance.
I'm shooting for it. I'm shooting for it, man.
Just like I'm shooting to make this episode 60 minutes or less.
Well, we don't have Russ, so it's a good chance.
I don't know. We get a little chatty here.
Chatty Kathy.
We do. And there's a lot to go over because I did take notes. Apparently, some of the feedback that the Facebook group, seem to like the feed or the recap.
Hey, so, was Carl in this episode?
No, he was not.
Okay, I forgot to talk about something last week. Okay, can't they get him like a pirate's eye patch or something like that? He's still wearing the same gauze thing. I mean, it's got to be dirty. How often does he have to change that? Just get the eye patch already. Like, you know, you're watching Escape from New York, right? What a snake can wear. An eye patch, not a little gauze thing around his eye. Let's work on it, Carl.
Well, you saw the amazing makeup they did for Rosita's little scar she's got going on.
That was pretty. That was almost like a lock scar. Pretty intense. I think we lost Matt.
Yeah, I'm actually. I just took some NyQuil. I'm just totally out of it now. No,
yes.
No.
Return to the best podcast episode ever.
Yeah, if only. No, actually, I was.
Wait, what zombie are we on? What zombie are we on? What?
There's only two in this episode, so we'll see if you count. Okay, keep up with me. Let's go ahead and jump into the recap.
So when are we gonna at the end of the recap? We'll find out. We'll give the thumbs up if we liked it or not.
Oh, I don't know. We usually start kicking the tires way before then.
Okay. Well, Mike, did you like this episode?
Loved it.
Really?
Jack? Right. Jack, I thought you seemed surprised.
I thought it was good. Good episode. We'll get to the recap. I thought it was good.
Okay. But not great.
Not great, no. But good. But good. Good episode.
Okay. There were some things that I enjoyed about it. So, although I kind of watched it a little split up there, so, but I still liked for the most part this episode. I guess the one thing I will point out that I did enjoy upon rewatching it was that I feel like this episode was a one where they hit their rhythm where it's like, okay, we can have this storyline and we can have this storyline and we can have resolution in both and we can progress the story along.
Are they giving Rick's dumb lines to say? Is it just or is it just me? He seems like Crazy Rick now. He just seems nuts.
You got to go a little crazy to meet with the scrap or the whatever the hoarders. So
the hoarders and their junkyard dog,
Jadis, and the junkers. So they refer to it as the junkyard at one point. So you know, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, let's jump into the recap.
All right.
So this episode title is called New Best Friends, and it's based off of something that Rosita says later in the episode, referring to these people that we cannot seem to name. This episode, though, begins with Easy, as I refer to him as my notes, because it's just easier to write than Ezekiel is easy. So, so it begins with Easy and his crew. They're waiting for the saviors to show up, and Diane, which is, I think, the name of a, I meant to look this up. If I'm not mistaken, it's a, refers to one of the archer gods, I believe. So anyway, sorry. Didn't have a chance to look that up. I just kept rolling with my notes there. I was like, come back to that, Matt. And I never did. Anyway, she shoots a walker wearing a dress that her sister wore. And Gavin shows up. And as they show up, there's a scene where Jerry says something. And I replayed it multiple times, and I have no idea what he says. The best I could get out of it is that he says, Navis? I don't know.
Malva? Maybe Malva?
Ezekiel says, yes, Jerry. And they open up the truck door for Gavin, who, upon second watch, seems like the saddest sack of the saviors. I don't know.
Yeah, he's low man on the totem pole as far as the management goes, don't you think?
His emotional level is somebody on Quaaludes, I would imagine. Yeah. Something, he's just so...
You seem a little short. Count it again.
All right, you guys aren't short anymore.
Yeah, all right. Whoa, poo. Well, call me Igor.
He does. He kind of has a... It's like, how did this guy even make it up the totem pole, right?
I don't know.
I keep
he's
wondering.
He's not scary.
Hey, not, we lost Fat Jerry or whatever his name was.
Fat Bobby, wasn't it?
No, Jerry. It's Fat.
Fat Jerry?
Fat Joey.
Fat Joey.
Ezekiel has Jerry.
Yes, that's right.
And this guy has Jared.
Yeah.
So they like to throw around these J names, but Gavin, his henchman's name is Jared, who immediately wants Richard's gun. And everything immediately kind of goes Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
You know?
Except there wasn't a long monologue.
There was a long monologue? Am I skipping over something?
There wasn't a long monologue. Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah. That's true. We did mention that last week.
Yeah.
Well, just in the fact that everybody's got guns pointed.
Yeah.
And thus begins this thing where Morgan steps in. Basically, they ask Richard to relinquish the gun, and Jared is going to clock him in the head, and Morgan steps in, knocks the gun out of his hand, at which point Jared takes Morgan's special stick and then proceeds to knock down Morgan with it, at which point Benji steps in and then knocks down Jared. So there's this kind of domino effect that occurs, and Gavin gets all mopey, and he's like, oh, well, don't make me have to do this, you know?
Whoa. You think he was part of the kingdom at one point?
The sad kingdom.
Well, I'm thinking maybe the reason he doesn't really want to go full ballistic on him and kill him, maybe because he was part of the kingdom at one point. Yeah, they took Daryl. Maybe they took him from the kingdom and broke him. Just throwing it out there, because he doesn't seem like he's like the others would have just gone ballistic and started killing him. They would have killed somebody. Send a message.
Yeah, no, I don't know. At some point he mentions something taking the bat to Richard in this scene. But he basically tells he tells Morgan to read the room, Sensei. And Because Morgan wants a stick back. It's special. Somebody
can
gave
I,
it to
can him. Can I have my stick back? It's my, it's someone gave that stick to me. I can't find another stick. I want my stick. I just thought it was weird. I go, Morgan Manups, say I want my stick back now.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't think about it like that.
Well, I mean, come on. If you go, can I have my stick back, please? These guys take everything. You think they're going to get your stick back, Morgan?
Yeah, especially when they know that it's special.
Yeah, because I think this is going to be what pushes Morgan over the edge. He's going to lead the charge to kill this. They took his stick. He's going to be back to killing again because, you know.
I do think this sets up. I do think this sets up for Morgan to step in, basically. I think it starts with the taking of the stick, and it's like a little. It's the first domino.
Yeah, should Morgan have named his stick? You know, because like we got Lucille. What should he have named his stick?
Well, and then of course in Lost you had the Jesus stick.
Jesus stick. So, what should he? Maybe he'd get more respect if he had if it had a name.
Mike.
Should that be a Twitter question? What should Morgan's stick be?
Do you want to get some options, Jack? This is all you. You're like leading us down a path here.
I'm just saying.
Keep going, Jack.
I'm just saying, you know, you
Mr. Stick.
Can I have my stick back? It's like, okay.
So if he had named his stick something else, like
Negan says, you know, it's a big deal that Negan says, you know, my bat's named Lucille. My stick is named Stick. It doesn't really, you know.
It's called Matchstick.
Matchstick. Chopstick, maybe. I don't know.
Toothpick, you know. So
I don't know. I'm just saying. I'd have more respect for him if he, you know, had a name for it.
Steak Plissken. I'm currently watching. If you join us live or ever rewatch these on YouTube, I'm watching Escape from New York tonight. So,
actually, no, Steak we're watching Plissken. It. You don't really see it.
I don't see it. yeah, that's true. Except in my review mirror.
It's an older Carl.
Yeah, it kind of is. I think this is Russ's one theory, is that he thinks that this is how it's going to end, is Carl is basically like Snake Plissken.
And he's got to save the president. I'm sorry, spoiler.
What? What happens in this movie? I've never seen it. He doesn't get his stick back. And Diane remarks something about how her sister really loved that dress.
Was it her sister?
I don't think so. I think it was just meant to be like a little bit of a remembrance, you know, like this is the world that they live in now. It's like the one guy says, don't think about it. And it's like, you know, all of this other stuff with Ezekiel and the stuff that just went down. It's like, in some ways, it's kind of like, oh, my sister loved that dress. It's like, I'd rather think about and be nostalgic about that time, you know, because so much time has passed, I think, now,
yeah,
since the breakout. And it's kind of like she's wistfully thinking about, like, zombies are nothing now, but I can at least think about it.
Before
the
zombies, that last summer, it was really popular at Macy's. Everybody was buying that dress.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, it's sad, but sometimes looking back at the past, it's like happy. So it's like, I don't know.
She loved that dress.
I don't know why I read so much into that, but. It is one of the two zombies in this episode from one. Okay. Maybe there's more. Maybe there's more, and I just didn't.
No, I don't remember seeing a lot of zombies. No, I think you're right.
Yeah. All right, so next scene is Ezekiel schools Benjamin not to engage. You know, it's like, you know, he doesn't want Benji to die, basically. He's like a little.
Well, also, Benji said, I didn't think about it. You must think about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't know what he said there.
Yeah, he said, you must think about it. I mean, because he said, well, I really didn't think about it. I just reacted.
Yeah, that's what you don't think, kid. Jerry says something about how it was cool or I want to be like you. Or
great move, kid. One in a million.
Right.
Mike is crazy.
You're taking my lines now. This is weird.
Right.
So, hey. Let's talk about poop. Daryl interrupts this little scene where Benjamin's trying to talk to Morgan. You know, he's like, "Hey, man, you know, I was in it. You know, I was like feeling the force." Daryl interrupts, and it's basically like, "Hey, cool scar, man."
I want to talk to Morgan alone. Hey, I know we've talked about this before, but can we get Daryl some shampoo? I mean, I can't look at his. I can't deal with that hair anymore.
He's doing that no poo hair thing.
I think he's using poo.
wait till we get to this new group with their hair.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you've heard about the new the no shampoo. It's no poo kind of thing, right?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay. There's people that do this. They go without shampoo for like a really long period of time. I don't know.
Why?
It's a different way of doing their hair. Right?
Well, you're not doing your hair. It's all greasy.
Yeah, but it's like anti-chemical, kind of like super granola.
You can get natural shampoo, can't you? It's called an egg.
Okay. I'm giving you the no poo challenge.
All right.
Don't use.
Well, that's really not a challenge for me.
All right. Jack won't wash his hair.
It's really not a challenge for me. I did.
I'm just bringing the poo back around. Yeah. See, we flipped. We did a 80s vice versa right there.
All
right.
Oh, crap.
You're like, cut that crap out. All right.
Maybe Morgan stick could be the poop stick.
All right. We have four choices for the poll.
Okay. I'm glad that Mike takes notes. Because we find out that Daryl presses him about hanging out with the whatever it was. What does he say here? Sorry, skip my notes. Daryl says if Carol was here and knew about Glenn and Abraham and the Saviors, she'd lead them all. Morgan agrees. He says
she would, but she won't.
That's why she left. And Richard is what does they put? Richard is practicing. I don't know.
He was practicing with the bow and arrow because he knows he's going to lose all the guns.
Right. That's true. So better stock up on your bows now.
Yeah.
Boy, it's like. Anyway, he's a really bad shot, though. Aiming quite a bit to the left there. And he says, "Hey, man, Daryl, I hear you're a bow man." they bond. They bond like most men do.
You're talking about bow jingles? Yeah. I like those bow biscuits.
I will say this. I like this episode because we got a lot of Daryl.
We did get a lot of Daryl. A lot of dirty Daryl.
Well, if that's how you see it. I mean, some people see him as...
Well, I get that he's probably going the no chemical route. So
we're going back to shampoo, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, we got to give something for the listeners. Hopefully Vicky writes in next week about that. Daryl says, "Why?" And
you got a pretty good Daryl going on there.
Thanks. I felt like Daryl's "why" was the opposite of Rick's "what."
What?
And we just need Morgan to be like, "How?" Anyway, Richard says, "I need your help. You're my only hope." And cut to the talking Walking Dead.
Well, a little trivia from Talking Dead. This is the third crossbow that Daryl's gotten.
Like, nice. He started one,
and then he found one when he went to Morgan's little house apartment. And so this is the third he's gotten.
All right. Maybe you can hold on to this one.
Holding back the years. I don't know why that came into my mind. Anyway, so it opens on the forest, and Richard is explaining in this kind of montage kind of way about how he's been stockpiling all of this prepper stuff. And they get ready to basically, he wants to have this attack, and he's kind of explaining this as we see them walking down the road. And you kind of know this is going to go south pretty quick. After about the fifth time, Daryl says, "What's her name?" Right? Tell me her name.
I don't know it.
I don't know. It starts with a C, like Katie or Kathy.
Oh.
Yeah. It's good.
Carol.
I love the backdrop to this confrontation between Richard and Daryl, because I thought that this was what the episode was going to be about. It said new best friends. I was like, all right.
I got to be honest with you. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, they're bonding over bows. They're going to be bonding over some brews. But no, they start butting heads. The backdrop is this trailer, and it's like a mural on the side of it, or some graphic of a guy holding up a stagecoach. So it's just like a robber, old West robber holding up a stagecoach, which is kind of what they're doing. They're kind of holding up a heist on this stagecoach of these guys. At least that's what Richard wants to do. He wants to burn them basically to the ground to lead the saviors back to the little cache, and then ultimately to what's her name? Whatever her name is, what's her name? They begin to fight. They throw some punches, and it ends up Reservoir Dog style, guns drawn. And actually, there's a monologue. Richard pleads with Daryl. Daryl kind of professes his love for Carol. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it have been better if instead of fighting, couldn't he just told Richard, look, okay, I like the idea of the plan, but it can't be Carol because Carol's special to me.
Right.
And so, yeah, I like your plan. We need to get Ezekiel fired up to attack, if we got to fight these saviors. But all he had to say is, no, Carol's special to me. You don't know. I'm not setting her up. I won't work with you that way. What was it more dramatic with the fight?
Well, Daryl's more like a, well, I'll let Mike talk. I always talk. Sorry.
Exactly. I totally agree.
That's it. Russ would have had five theories by now.
With Matt or me.
Wait, what are we talking about again?
which character were we on? I was just thinking about that cat.
No, the whole time I'm thinking, I go, it's a good plan, but you don't sacrifice Carol for the plan.
It's not very noble. It's not very noble of a knight.
No. Right. I guess that's the difference between Daryl and maybe Rick. Rick would have had the level head to be like,
sacrifice look. Benjamin.
Right.
We know Ezekiel likes Benjamin too. So, treats him like a son. So you sacrifice Benjamin.
I think that's the one thing that Daryl sees in Richard is the fact that he is so hell bent to make something happen that, I don't know. Daryl has to feel like he must.
Richard doesn't want to live this way anymore, and who can blame him?
Right. Well, and he keeps getting showed up by that Jared kid.
Right. So.
And I mean, that guy's a punk, right? Like, I mean, he's straight up like out of Hanson. Anyway, we come back to the Rick storyline, or that at least we pick up on it at this point. Any more thoughts, though, on the Richard?
No, I mean, it had to go that way, but I just thought they could have worked it out better.
Come on, guys.
I tear ran down my face. They weren't going to be best friends.
Well, because at the end, he kind of looked. There's a scene where he looks at him, so maybe at the end. I know I'm ahead of myself here, but he kind of smiles at him, kind of winks.
Yeah, I think the one thing I did write down was that in their confrontation, Daryl kind of is like, he basically asked, like, why don't you die for it?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that kind of leaves it hanging, like, well, maybe he would. If he thought that it would push Morgan and Ezekiel over to the edge of, like, we must fight, I could see Richard kind of, like, I don't know, taking a few too many blows so that he gets killed by one of...
But would Richard be enough... Richard dying be enough for them to go, okay, that's it. Can't take anymore.
Yeah, and I just don't know if he's that brave. So.
Yeah.
But, hey, you're living in this suicidal world, you know, it's like one thing over the edge. It's like, what else do I have to live for? Why not?
Right. I just don't think Richard is the, a Carol or Benjamin would work, but I don't think a Richard.
Yeah. It's got to capture the heart of the viewers too. So, anyway, we come back to I keep saying that the Rick storyline, but it opens on the Rick storyline, which is this cat and a pig. And I don't think that there's a metaphor there, but, as soon as I saw the cat, I was like, oh, Michonne. I don't know if anybody else, I mean, before we even came back to it, I thought of the Michonne cat for some reason. So, and then I thought of art school sculptures out of trash.
Well, they said, I guess I'm talking dead, that she got like a little cat stolen around the prison time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know, this seems like a long time ago. I don't really remember that.
I thought it was back when it was her and Carl, and they went into a place for that cat. And I think it was.
Is that when they were going to find, when they found Morgan?
Yeah, it was the episode Clear.
Okay.
Yeah. Now I read that in some notes. Yeah. Holding back the years. anyway.
That NyQuil is kicking in.
More singing, Matt.
Okay. Tons of emo, French, German, post-punk, grunge-wearing people. They emerge from all sorts of depths. And it truly does seem like art school gone crazy. At least to me, that's just what I thought of. And cool music, bro. I really like the music in this episode. I wrote that down.
This scene with the hoarders or whatever you want to call them, it seemed like a 70s sci-fi movie.
Oh, I could see that.
It just had that kind of feel for it. You know, you got the people that aren't really doing much, and the kind of the wording and
the silence,
everything was just like, or like the warriors, riff, you know, it just seemed like it was a 70s, 80s type sci-fi movie.
Well, and you get to pay the extras less because they don't talk.
Exactly. But, you know, I did notice, it's funny that, you know, you got the saviors are pretty much run by, and they do whatever one guy says. Ezekiel's group, the kingdom, they all do what he says. This group, whatever what's her name?
Jadis,
whatever she's saying, they tend to do. Rick's group, not so much.
Yeah.
Well especially with Rosita later in the episode.
Right.
Well, that's true.
But I just thought this new group, the Trash Heapsters or whatever, they must watch like a lot of like band, college like bands or something. They had that circles down, like they were coordinated perfectly. Like they must practice like band practice like every day, like doing their circles.
Guys, we got to make a perfect circle this time. Nobody, it's really hard to do.
We're never going to be the band for the Ohio State University unless we can do this. Come on, guys.
We need to dot the I.
Everybody find their mark.
Practice.
I think that's why it took them so long. They were like working around and trying to like, okay, where do I go? No, Jeff, you go here.
Up.
up. Yeah, it's all of a sudden it's like these people, they have a new language. It's like beyond Thunderdome.
We don't need another hero.
It was definitely a very, very Star Trek, Star Warsian, reminiscent of those, like that kind of genre.
It was a weird scene.
Well, Rick, Michonne, Aaron, Tara, and Rosita—they are the ones that are surrounded, and a woman emerges to speak with Rick, and she says that they own them. Or they now own their lives. And Rick says that he wants to see Gabriel and then they will talk.
Let us see Gabriel and we'll talk.
Jadis explains that they want what was on the boat and they want what is theirs. I don't know where my notes are going with this. Rick explains that they have nothing and that if they take their lives, the saviors will come looking for them because they already own their lives. And with the saviors, you're either owned or you're dead.
Exactly.
And apparently with this new group, they take your shirts because when Gabriel shows up, he's got no shirt.
He's got no shirt, man.
They take the shirt off your back.
No collar either. So he didn't have a...
Well, the way out of join, you know, basically is, you know, either joining this group or joining Rick. This is Rick's plead to help fight the Saviors. And Jadis is very, you know, no. And it's weird, you know, they get this hand signals or whatever, and the scrappers begin to attack. And it's I don't know if it's Aaron that yells out, but basically, like, they're trying not to hurt them. I think because they think if they kill one of them, it'll escalate it worse. But Gabriel's the one that kind of takes to it and grabs a blade and threatens Tamio's life. And at this point, Gabriel convinces Jadis that the Saviors have things that the scrappers want, and that, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, I thought this was surprising by Gabriel that he took this initiative.
The Saviors have so much trash. They have so much trash you can use.
That's true.
He's taking charge because Rick believes in him.
Well, and he throws Rick under the bus too. He's like, hey, Rick can do anything, man. Yeah. Like,
he can do it all, man. Whatever you want.
Gabriel was running on a high because, like, a couple hours ago, like, Rick had smiled at him. So he's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Rick smiled at me for no reason. Yeah. I don't even understand.
We can get you a trash compactor if you want. If that's what you want, we can get one.
I wanted to point out, this was one of the things that I was reading that Sherry had posted on the Facebook group, was the Talking Dead kind of little footnotes or whatever. But they said that in the script, it names Tamio or Tamiel as the mysterious boot wearer that spied on Rick and Aaron in episode 708. Yeah.
So. Okay.
So I thought that was
kind of... also a little preview from an email coming up. She was also the one in the car.
That Gabriel. Russ was right about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Russ was right about.
I've had to hear about that for a couple days now.
Russ just dropped the mic. He's like, I'm not even going to appear on a show because I was so, like, correct last week.
Yeah. I don't need to be, you know, I'm done. He's George Costanza.
Yeah, it'll probably Costanza all over my theory. So before I even get to it, he'll just show up and be like, boom. Anyway, I don't know where we were at on this, but yeah, Gabriel basically is like, yeah, Rick can get anything you want. And I think this is where Jadis tells Tamiel and this other guy, I didn't write his name down, it doesn't really matter, Silent Bob. This is where we get the up, up, up. Show him the up, up, up.
And I said, what is that, man? I had the same I had the same look on my face.
I think this is also where the commercial break was.
They just couldn't go, just show him to the top.
Yeah. Take him up there.
Show him the classic Pixar movie, up.
We have a lot of cool things, guys. Lots of cool things. And we own you now, so.
Don't you think it would smell there with all that trash? Just been rotting around for years?
I guess they get used to it.
I don't know.
They've been locked away, so it clearly has gotten to their brains. It's probably like all of the rotten food that they've been eating in cans. Up, up, up. Hey, at least they're keeping positive about things.
Yeah. Could have been down, down, down.
Everything's going on here. Up, up, up.
I would have been like, show him Spiky. Yeah, I don't know. That's what... That would be me. Anyway, after the commercial break, I think, I don't know, I just have a line. It says, Tara says, you know, who are these people? And Rhoda Zeta says, our new best friends, I guess. and we see Rick taken high above the junkyard, and it stretches forever. So I can only imagine that it was a junkyard and they just kept expanding. It's like, let's put in a new wing. We'll call it the Montgomery Hall.
We need a hospital wing over here. That's it.
We'll call it Russ.
Yeah, he's not here, right?
T.
Out.
Out. It's only outpatient.
Well, so. Russ is Canadian. It'd be oot.
A-A-A?
A-A-A.
All right.
And the next scene, Rick goes...
Down.
There you go.
We do get a little background of something, you know, a little brief backstory about how they're eating rotten cans or whatever, but, and they've been there for since the passing of the, you know, and times are changing or something.
Yeah.
And they need to know if Rick is worth it, if he's worth the, and that's why he gets tossed.
What?
And he starts rolling down the field. Just
I thought this was the dumbest scene in the episode. I just thought this was stupid.
Okay. Was it the trash bags?
No, it's the whole thing where, you know, Michonne goes, "Fight back, Rick, fight." And he picks up a keyboard with a guy with, and he hits it.
Play him a song. Play him a song.
And it's luck when he breaks it over. And it's like, and then he puts his hand through the knife. He's like,
sharp. It's so sharp.
Use the bags.
Use the force.
Use the walls. Yeah.
I just thought it was a dumb scene.
All right. Noted.
Didn't really have a problem with the whole episode, but that scene I thought was stupid.
Well, as Randy.
Give me Morgan Stick.
As Randy pointed out in the Facebook post, you know, Kirk versus Gorn, you know, it reminded me.
Exactly.
Of that,
there you go. Okay. I didn't see that. I haven't been on Facebook today.
Yeah,
that perfect right there.
Mm-hmm. There were some cool things that I liked how the walker looked. I thought they did a really cool job of making a like look different, scarier, harder to kill.
Very Star Wars / Mad Maxian.
Yeah.
Anyway, Rick somehow defeats this thing by use the walls, Rick.
Now, wasn't he risking all the trash falling down on him?
Pretty much, yeah. And then he started backing into it and like powerhouse driving back,
yeah,
like a wrestler, you know, and trying to, I don't know.
I thought it was dumb.
Yeah, and at one point, you know, there was that big heavy thing that looked like a microwave, and I was like, well, why don't you throw that on his head or something?
But no, because you gotta go with the keyboard. The right. Plastic keyboard was the best.
It looked like styrofoam to me. I was like, oh, here's some styrofoam.
And the best thing is this thing's been laying in trash, but it's perfectly white.
I'm pretty sure that his hand is not going to get infected.
You think so?
Not at all. Yeah. It's good. That thing was covered in Neosporin.
Yeah, when you have a knife, when you have something go right through your hand like that and you're bleeding and you're in trash and, yeah.
Then you kill it with a glass shard.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Now, who would have done better, Rick with no weapons at all or Russ with his pocket full of hamburgers? Like, they might have been old hamburgers. They might have been very hard. Like, they could, like, he could, like, throw them, like, stars.
I think Russ just would have kept going, and finally the rocker said, I'm out. You win. I'm tapping out. Wait, what?
Mute,
what?
Mute,
what?
Mute.
Russ would go, how do you retweet this? I can't take it anymore. I'm out.
I didn't know this job involved retweeting. you want me to download the episode too?
What do you want me to do? What?
All right.
Show up? You want me to show up?
It's not fair. He's not here. When he does show up, he's going to take away my great theory. Anyway. Rick survives and he says, now do you believe us? Tell us what you want. And
we can get anything.
Yep. Half off.
I want a new keypad.
Right. We want a new zombie. This reminded me of Luke down in the Rancor. Monster. Oh, yeah. So that was the other Star Wars aspect since Mike brought it up. So
and also Chris Hardwick mentioned that very, very much on the Talking Dead.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Because apparently, when Rick was the actor that plays Rick, he like said, "Oh, this reminded me of Star Wars," and then Chris Hardwick was like, "Well, actually, the character you mentioned was like that was actually in Return of the Jedi," and so he was referencing the wrong movie, and so he just kept saying that the whole episode.
Wow.
Hardwick's getting a little big for his britches, don't you think?
Yeah, throwing shade on Andrew Lincoln, really? All right. Rick gets done with it. Well, that's good to know, though. Rick gets done with the climb back up because he gets a rope ladder or whatever. And Jada says, "Guns, lots and lots of guns, and then we will fight your fight." So
now, do you get people that you're not really? They just tried to kill you with a zombie, and so you're supposed to go okay. She wouldn't shake his bloody hand.
Right, that's true.
I mean, you spit in your hand. That's what are you going to give these people guns and you don't even know really who they are yet?
I think it's when it's kind of weird too because I felt like we didn't really get the understanding that they were good people.
No.
Except for the fact that basically she said that they were. We actually get it kind of at the end after they shake. Right. So this is how I have it written down. This is the deal. Jada says, after we get half of what's won. So they're talking about the big enchilada, taking down the saviors.
Right.
They want half of that. And Rick says a third. And then she counter offers with a third and then half of what they stole. To that, Rick agrees because she asks or she tells him to just say yes. Plus the guns. So they're already getting a third of what the saviors have. They're getting half of what they stole. And mind you, what they stole from Rick's group. And then the guns. Rick agrees. They shake hands left-handed, which is the way I shake. And that's when she says, "We take, we don't bother." It's like, well, shouldn't you have known that before? You know, like you pointed out, it's like all you know is that they've stole some of your stuff. They've stole one of your people. They've thrown you into a gladiator match. You've made a deal, and all of a sudden now you find...
She should have said, "We take and we don't negotiate well."
I just think that the
Jay would really appreciate negotiating with her at a toy.
Yeah, he would. I mean, I guess we have to keep the story going that we have to trust these people. And I guess it sets up where Tara knows where, who's it? Rick asked her. You were out there. Do you know where some other guns are? I don't know.
I wonder if that'll ever come up again.
Yeah, I guess it will.
Hey, Tara, you know where we don't have to look or where not to look.
Yeah.
So, and that's when Rick takes the cat. We're skipping ahead just a bit, though. After the deal goes down, the bloody deal, we do learn that Winslow was just the guy on the boat, apparently. So,
okay.
And then she expresses, "Go deal expires soon." So I don't know. I don't know if there's like a time frame with these people. I mean, they know how to make a circle in the sand, but
maybe they know how to make a sundial.
Yeah, like I'd like to know how long do we have? Like 2 weeks? Are we talking 3 weeks? Like is this a Kroger sale? Like do I just have the weekend?
I'm guessing we don't see these people for like 3 or 4 episodes. Yeah. That's my guess.
That would be my guess too.
I think we only got like 6 episodes to go this season though.
Right. Yeah, it's eight episode arc, so it's the second one in, so we got 6 more to go. So but I could see that 4 episodes from now. Seeing them again, maybe 3. Next week it cuts to, we see Carol being visited by Ezekiel and crew, and they're clearing. Yeah, Ezekiel says, you know, "Oh, we're not bothering you. We're just clearing out the wasted." Carol's like, "Okay, goodbye, Your Majesty." Oh, wait, Jerry brought Cobbler. And,
Cobbler.
Carol's kind of annoyed. She's just basically like, yeah, just stop bothering me. Just leave me.
Bro, quit texting me. Quit texting me, bro.
I think she could get a restraining order or something because the guy is he's just all over her.
Dot dot dot. No response. You saw me typing, and I clearly did not send any more texts.
I saw the bubble.
It stopped. Okay. Anyway, she gets back to her reading, which she's reading Denim Dreams. I meant to look up more about what that was about. I mean, Denim Dreams.
Can I say something?
Yeah,
she's reading the book and she's by a window, but she's got her back towards the window. So if someone were to come up the window with, say, a gun or something, she wouldn't see them. So if you're trying to survive, that's probably the worst place to be in. Just saying, Carol.
All right. Well,
I know she probably doesn't care, but she seems like she is surviving and she's a survivalist. So in the future, at least have your or have some blinds on the window so people can't see in. All right. It just bugged me. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. There's a knock at the door, and she's somewhat annoyed because she's like, really, dude, get the message.
And Daryl didn't see the king walking out because they must have went a different direction.
Yeah, it seemed like he was just watching them leave or something, or maybe he was following them.
Okay.
I mean, that could have been.
All right. I won't bash it too much. I'll back off.
Hey, she could have been lost in her denim dreams for a while.
Another little quick note. Another quick talking dead note is in that house she's in, there's like a lot of like flower paintings like all around. And I guess before she was wearing like flower dresses. Mm-hmm. So it's like call back to her her famous scene, look at the flowers.
Look at the flowers, okay.
Oh,
Yep. So they're keeping that theme going.
All right.
So nice.
So Carol.
They're trying to be a little like Lost, keep the themes going.
So Carol's dead woman
trying
walking.
A little hard. Yeah.
All right, so let's see. Where was I at? Oh, yeah. The one, I don't know. I liked this scene.
I thought it was nice.
I'm not like a huge, you know, Carol and Daryl need to get together or anything like that, but it was sweet. I don't know. It's like it brought the heart. So seeing those two together and then also Daryl, his comment, you know, he's like, why'd you go? You know, it was just so sweet and so sad. And, you know, you could tell that he was hurt because he missed her.
Yeah, why'd you go? So, why'd you eat dog food sandwiches?
You missed out on the best part. yeah. And I mean, for Daryl, I mean, he's kind of been through hell and back, you know, and it's like he's been through so much. And it's also, I think, why he's really emotional.
Bro, why'd you quit texting me?
So this is where it cuts back to, I think maybe the, I don't know if there was a commercial break there because, you know, I watch it just the episode on iTunes, so it just kind of flows sometimes. But we see Gabriel explaining how it all went down at Alexandria to Rick, and Gabriel actually and Rick they have a bro moment, as what I wrote down. You know, it's like they're like, you were there for me and I was there for you, and you like smile, and I was like thinking, man, so what's he smiling about?
Are they the new best friends?
Maybe. That's a good point.
Well, Russ isn't here. Someone has to pick up the slack. there you go, Mike. There you go. Perfect.
All right. I don't know. I did like the scene between the two of them just because Rick did believe in him. I mean, like everybody else was like ready to turn on Gabriel. And he's like, no, there's something more here, you know, and it kind of harkens back to the fact that Rick's a cop at heart still, you know?
Yep.
I mean, like he,
it all comes back to that smile from Rick.
That smile. I liked it. I liked that we get a smile, you know, because we wondered actually at the end of last episode what he was smiling about.
What was he smiling about? Yeah.
And we get an answer to that, which, you know, rarely you'd think that we would get. But he smiled because enemies Russ can become friends.
What? Because Russ wasn't going to be on the next Walking Dead with three super guys.
Aww.
What were?
He smiled because he had Jack in the Box. All right. Anyway,
that was gas.
Gas? Oh yeah, it was gas. It was just gas. Somebody burped. Rosita wants to stay out and search for these guns. I mean, she's pretty much like, guys, we got to get these guns. They said like soon. Time expires. Tick tock.
He's got to fix his hand, man.
Come on, be cool. It's like he did the Jesus thing, man.
I'm just going to go on my own. I'm going to walk out to him, shoot him right in the face from 5 feet away. It's all going to work out perfectly.
What could go wrong?
My plans work out perfectly every time.
Hey, she's still kicking. I mean, I'm kind of surprised that she lived after that, but.
You can't kill Rosita.
Yeah. Tara says, no, man, we're regrouping. And Rosita's like, no, it's always a fight. And it was kind of interesting because as I was doing the notes and I'd watched this episode kind of separated a little bit, she tells her to grow up. And it harkens back to something that Daryl says to Morgan at the end of the episode. So anyway, we already mentioned about this, but Rick says to Tara, hey, you've been out pretty far. This just in, Tara might leak it.
Yeah. Do you know about any guns, maybe? I made a promise. Pinky swear.
Do you know any other warriors that could come out?
And play.
Some female warriors. I hear Jadis is looking for... anyway. next scene. We get Carol by the fire. It's, you know, if you were a relationshipper of these two, you got Carol by the fire and a candlelit dinner.
Yep, you were hoping. You had to be hoping.
You had lots of hugs, but...
maybe if Daryl had washed his hair. Maybe it had something.
Maybe. Yeah. Anyway, there's kind of a sweet scene where she kind of lays it out where she couldn't lose anymore. And she didn't, you know... She asked Daryl point blank, like, hey, did anybody get hurt? Did the saviors come?
Yeah, we won. They moved on. I thought for sure she was going to tell him about Glenn and Abraham, but he didn't.
Yeah. Carol cries and Daryl lies. So. Yeah,
there you go. Nice.
Well, he does say that they made a deal.
Yeah.
And
which
so,
they
you know,
technically kind of, did.
With two dead bodies.
Yeah.
Anyway, Carol, you know, Daryl's like, hey, are we going to, do I have to be, eat like a, or what do you have to do? Be like a king or something like that to eat around here or something? I don't know. He makes some comment about the king. So that's why I thought maybe he did follow them or
that's good,
the fact that she had that food or something. But, they hug one last time, and Daryl's got to keep moving on. He's a rambling guy.
Well, he also knows from Richard that the king is sweet on him, Carol.
Right, yeah, because that's true. That's true. That's, you know, I don't know. I don't know if this is the last hug, you know, or if they're going to see each other again, but, you know, it's kind of nice to have that moment between those two characters. Shiva and Daryl, they hang out
at this point. Either Carol fights and comes back to the group, or we just let her go. Right. I mean, what's the point of her just keep coming back to, well, okay, she's made her peace and she just wants to live alone and be done with everybody. Or she comes back to the group. If she doesn't come back to the group, then I think we need to be done with Carol.
Well, no, everybody wants to read books. That's like very exciting for the fans of Walking Dead.
But don't you guys agree at this point? Okay, Carol, either come back to the group, and I like the actors, I like the character, but all right, I got it. Either you're going to come back to the group or you're not.
Come on, it's a slow play. You know she's going to come back. You know she's going to kill people.
I don't know. I'm kind of cool with her having a moment. I don't know.
Well, she can have the moment. I'm just saying. But okay, we've got it. Okay, she's got her hug with Daryl, got the cry, the tears, blah. It's time. Okay, I don't need any more of the king trying to seduce her. Or, you know,
so you're saying grow up, Carol. you're throwing.
No more cobbler.
I'm telling the writers of The Walking Dead, either she comes back or I'm done with her.
All right.
I don't need more Carol scenes unless she comes back.
Are you talking about Carol or Russ?
Both, to be honest with you.
Hey, chicks, man. Can't live with him, man. Can't live with him.
Nope.
So next scene, we see Shiva and oh, we met our 1 hour mark. Oh man, clocking in.
So much for being done by 11:30.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, we're almost done with the episode though. We basically get this scene between Shiva and Daryl, and Daryl tries to convince Morgan basically to wake the hell up, which again reminds me of that grow up or how your sentiment with Carol is. You know, there's definitely people that are like, look, this is serious, we need to do something. And Morgan tells Daryl that they are the same, and because he didn't tell Carol about how everybody died. That basically, you know, is like, yeah, if you said it, if you told her, she would have come here and right. She would have led everybody. So, and then Daryl's sweet on Shiva. And I think that's the true best friends right there. They became friends. And maybe Shiva comes back and saves Daryl's life. Daryl, that's the one that I was really worried about Russ taking.
So you were sweating.
Hope
Russ doesn't show up.
Oh man, he's going to talk about Shiva. I tweeted out a picture of a kitten for the show. So
that's nice.
Yeah. Daryl says that he's going to go to the hilltop and start to prepare. And Daryl leaves the next morning, and we see Morgan and Richard share a look of love. And the episode ends.
Yep.
The look of love.
Yeah, not a bad episode.
Oh, and I think Daryl left to force Morgan's loyalty. I think that was Daryl's play. He's like, they were both fighting there at the end to do something, and he wants Morgan to step up. And I feel like he's not going to hide behind those walls. That's not who Daryl is. I didn't want him to leave the kingdom. You know, I'm sure that he's put his life in jeopardy because of that. But I think he knows about the incident that happened with Morgan, and he knows that Carol won't do it. And I think he's forcing Morgan's hand to step up.
All right. So to get the king to go on board, right?
Yeah. And I think this season will end with Ezekiel finally showing up to save the day. But he won't kill Negan.
Well, I think finally when Carol finally shows back up and wants to fight is when Morgan and Ezekiel will join the group.
That's what you think is going to happen?
For Carol to show back up to the group.
Hmm.
You're just waiting for her to finish that book.
Maybe Carol starts a book club.
Nobody will join. She doesn't want them around.
Well, she wants to start a book club, but she wants Abraham and Glenn to join.
Oh.
And when they don't show up, she realizes that they're dead. That's when she gets mad and gets all back to Carol, the Rambo Carol.
You know who'd really be great for my book club? Glenn and Abraham.
They have such they have such good head on their shoulders. I think really.
All right. So feedback for the episode. Do we,
we have two emails, don't we, Mike?
Yes, sir. Thoughts on the episode before we give feedback? We're screwing our feedback.
I don't know. I thought we did. I don't know.
I liked it. It was a good episode, but, you know, like I said,
Jack's giving it a B.
I'm giving him a B. Yeah. Not a great episode. But
I like how they're constantly jumping around between groups. It's not like stuck in like one place, like so depressing, like it was like the first half of the season.
I can see that.
Where you're like one group's like beaten down, and you're just like sitting there over and over, like, yep, they're losing. Here you're like constantly switching between characters, switch between scenes. You got like Jerry providing humor. You got Rick providing like the action scene, fighting scene. Well, you got Carol and Daryl providing like the emotional scene.
But you think
it's like, yeah, like a lot of stuff going on.
But how does Rick now know that this new group, whatever we're going to call them, isn't working for Negan?
Hmm.
Yeah, bring us all the guns
they
and bring
they
us.
They work for the governor.
But seriously, I mean, how do you know? You're so desperate,
right?
You're just going to you know that the save the kingdom isn't working, and you know the Hilltop mm-hmm. people aren't. But I mean, Gregory, I think would, but I just think the other you don't know this group.
That's a good point.
That's the show you need to be watching.
I will say some of the feedback on the Facebook group. Carrie had said basically almost the exact same sentiments of Shaq. She said, I don't know about this new group. Maybe they were all together and were somewhat developmentally challenged, but I don't know. This group just doesn't make any sense to me. So,
yeah, but I mean, Negan doesn't.
Can you ever trust a hipster group where like the bangs cut?
Why hasn't Negan tried to, get them, to get stuff for him?
I don't know how they haven't discovered them, but yeah. they clearly haven't. Carrie also, echoes your sentiment, Jack, about I'm going to be unpopular, but damn it, Daryl, get your greasy hair out of your face. I just can't stand it anymore.
I can't.
Grow the hell up.
It drives me crazy.
maybe Negan's group really hates trash.
Some of the other people had mentioned too, Jonathan and Will both had mentioned about the speech thing and how, caveman-esque and, it does seem like we've stepped into some kind of Mad Max, doublespeak, of tell us about the far, far land.
Up, up, up.
Yeah. But I also wonder too, about like they've been living on canned food and scraps. Like, any water that is in that scrap heap of it's going to be contaminated.
Right.
This is what the United States is going to look like in 20 years. So, they're going to be, developmentally challenged. They're going to be drinking lead water and kind of like a little, I don't know. That's my theory on that. Maybe it makes sense with it. Maybe they were
Cowboys fans.
Cowboys fans. Just living on the edge of reality. So, sure. I don't know. So, putting that out there.
All right. We'll see. You I guess.
To the feedback, right?
Yes. Back to the feedback.
We got feedback from Vicky. She says, "Hi, guys. I can't believe --. On the Saviors with only Daryl. What is he thinking? He saw that Rick wouldn't even take on this and they had more people. And number two, I don't agree with Daryl not telling Carol about Saviors, what they're up to and who they murdered. I think Carol has a right to know for her safety in case she needs to do something to protect herself. And she was close to those who died. She should know they're dead at the hands of the Saviors. I know Daryl's trying to protect Carol, but Carol is not a little girl. This is the apocalypse. .. Saviors come to her and ask where Daryl or someone else is. She thinks that the Saviors are gone. I also have a feeling that she might not believe Daryl's lie. So, I wonder how Carol is going to find out that the Saviors are not gone. That was part one. We have part two from Vicky. Rick and company have met the Heapsters, a.k.a. the Scavengers, with Jadis as its leader. A very strange group. I think this is how Tara will give up the Oceanside community and their stick.
Mike? You cut out there.
You froze, Mike.
Encounter will turn out. Maybe they will join in the fight against Negan. Who knows? I'm saying this because I noticed at the end of the episode when Rick and the gang were talking about finding guns, Rick commented to Tara about Tara searching around the area, and Tara said something to Rick's comment, and she also had a weird expression on her face. Vicky, XOXO. love Russ.
Sent from my iPhone.
Yeah. You cut out a little bit there, Mike, in the middle, but I think we get the gist of it. I think that the reason Daryl didn't tell Carol is because Carol basically says she wanted out. So, and he knows that, like Morgan said, if you would have told Carol, she'd be leading the way. All right. So, but she does have a right to, but she should know the saviors, you know. But I think she has to know the saviors. She has to know what's going on in the kingdom, doesn't she?
Well, I just think like Daryl sees like she's so like emotionally broken that maybe if she found out about Abraham and Glenn at this point,
that'd might push her over.
Totally break her.
That's a good point. And as far as what Richard wanted to do, he wanted to do was not take on the saviors himself. He wanted to get them to go attack Carol and kill Carol so that the kingdom, Ezekiel, would agree to fight and join Rick and fight the saviors. Right, that was the whole plan. I was using Carol as the guinea pig,
right,
or this the target or whatever you want to call it.
That girl that lives in the house out there, she's basically dead by right now.
But we appreciate Vicky the feedback.
Yeah, I like Vicky's idea though that she might not have completely believed Daryl's lie. That I mean, that is a possibility. So,
Does she join up with Daryl next week at the Hilltop?
No, I could see her kind of, maybe she susses out or finds out on her own, you know? So
maybe she goes to Morgan.
She finishes that Denim Dreams and she's like, you know, there's something about Daryl's visit that was kind of strange.
Yeah.
I'm going to pay Morgan a visit. I'm going to sneak in on Morgan and just talk to him.
Morgan's a squealer.
Yeah, totally. Can't trust him. He'll rat you out and take your Jesus stick. All right. So yeah, that was our feedback. And do we need to make some picks now?
I'm going with the Patriots for 2018.
Yeah, I think they're going to win it all, without a doubt. All right. Anyway, I thought it was a good show. Good job, guys.
Yeah. Good stuff. So.
I guess Russ ain't making
it. Kids.
Why are you taking my stuff now? No, I did like the episode. I guess I don't know if I had said yes or nay, yay or nay on it, but I was probably more in the yay camp of liking it. I like Mike had said, like the balance of the episodes. I hope they keep this up. I hope they keep this pace up and it doesn't lull or lag. But you know us, we're like Charlie Brown. We're going to get fooled by the football somewhere around episode four, three.
They're going to pull the football out from under us and then that.
No, four, five, and six. That's usually you're somewhere right around in there. That's where you get the dud. So, but
the dud.
Join us next week, though.
Those will be the Carl episodes.
Carl and Enid.
No, I think the next episode is 60 minutes of Morgan looking for his stick.
and just humming, holding back the years. I don't know the next line, but that's what's going to be on for next week.
All right, guys. That's it. That's all we got. If you'd like to become a patron, go to janejack.com. If you'd like to be Amazon, go to there and find all your... We got to thank three special patrons at this time. Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter Glaffelder, and Molly the Millennial. Thanks for doing what you do.
Those are my favorite patrons.
Without a doubt. Actually, I like them all.
I have favorites. I have personal favorites.
Send in your feedback and,
Vicky, thanks for sending back your feedback. Some good points. Did she really say XOXO love Russ?
No, she did not.
Okay. I
reread it just to make sure.
Okay. I thought that was a little crazy.
I know one of us reads the emails. sorry, Vicky. Jack doesn't want to read your emails anymore. But Matt and I really care about your emails.
I would like to put this out there for the listeners if they want to send in their feedback. They could email us at thewalkingdead. It's all spelled out. But the number 3, SG@gmail.com. They can send in their emails just like Vicky. Or they can call us at some number that Jack already rattled off.
385-309-0311. Call anytime with your questions, comments, and or theories. Or you can go to our Twitter page, Mike, which is what?
Three Super Guys, I think.
All spelled out. Yeah.
All spelled out. It's not the number. It's spelled out. And you can find this week's Twitter polls on there.
Yep.
The name of the stick, Mr. Stick. Matchstick, chopstick, or poopstick. And then the name of the new group, Heapsters.
Hoarders. Scrappers.
Scrappers. And I think you should put scavengers in there because that's the other one that that Sherry, who does a great job of posting information about the episode every week on our Jay and Jack Facebook group. So anyway, that's our show for this week. I'm going to say it.
Great show, kids. One in a million.
Ah, damn it. That's the late Lego. And goodbye.
See you next week.
Bye.
Mike is creepy.
Bye.